grateful, Father, to have come to that revelation, Lord, that it's only by your strength that we can walk, Father. We're so grateful that we can depend on you, not just to realize that this is how we can walk, but that we are walking in your strength, Lord. And every time we try to get out of it and try to get in our own strength, we stumble and fall. And it's just a reminder, Father, to come back into humility and just take you at your word and walk in faith. And Father, whenever we do, you're always so faithful, Lord, to lead us through. So we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I ask you to come tonight and just speak a little word to us tonight. Just a small group, but Father, as long as you're here, we don't care about the size. We just want to hear from you, Father, from your voice to us. So will you come, Lord, and just speak to each one, Lord, who has a heart to hear from you. And we're going to give you the honor and glory for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to read out of two scriptures. I'm going to read, first of all, from Isaiah 61. Last Sunday spoke on the thought of the day of God's vengeance. This is just part two of that. We're just going to kind of pick up what we did there. So just to bring that scripture back into our remembrance, I'm going to read from Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. I also would like to read Isaiah 14, verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Amen. You be seated. So what we see here is Satan making his boast that he's going to be worshipped like God. He's going to be, he's going to be sit in the assembly of God. He's going to be worshipped like God. And he's made good on his boast. He absolutely has. He knows what he's talking about. He's done it. And so that's where we see that. But then it says you're going to be brought down to the sides of the pit, because his end is going to be hell. And so I'm not sure. I was thinking about this. I don't know if he believes that or not. Because if he believes that he can't stop God's word from happening, then that would explain why he's so angry and he's raging and he's doing it, because he knows he's almost out of time. And he knows he can't get God's bride. He can't get us, because he can't. I mean, that's what the word says. Does he believe that or not? That's why I'm wondering, does he think he can stop the rapture from happening, or does he not? I don't know. I'll have to ask him sometime. You ask him for me. I don't want to ask him, right? But this is where I'm wondering, because if he can't get us, he doesn't believe he can stop the rapture, then maybe he's just trying to delay it as long as possible. And the other thing he's trying to do is get everybody else who is not elect to get him to hell, because he hates God's, he hates God, whatever God's doing, he hates humanity. Humanity, and specifically the elect, is God's favorite thing of all creation. Everything that God created was for the benefit of his bride. Everything you see is for us, so God could have fellowship with us through his, you know, that's what it's for. So all nature, the universe, everything is for us, so we could have that fellowship with God. And so Satan has been trying for years to get in there, and they have made humanity becomes the battleground. Humanity is where God and the devil fight it out about who loves who. And that's where he's at. And Satan's going to prove to him that they love me. God's going to prove to him that they love him. And so it's that's what we're right in the middle of this battleground, and that's where we are tonight. So let's look at how Satan, he's not giving up. He's not quitting to try, not quitting trying. He sees all these people on the book of life in a portion where the name can be taken off. We recognize if you're a bride, your name cannot be taken off the book of life in any circumstances, because you are predestinated to be there. But there's throngs of people who are on the book of life in a place their name can be taken off, and Satan is definitely trying to get them. Let me get off my subject a little bit. This is why Brother Branham said that you and I have become the mercy seat. The bride has become God's mercy seat. It's also his judgment seat. When Christ comes and take up his abode in your heart, that's mercy there. Because why? Because you can actually impart mercy and life to other people. Now, it's not like you go up to him and say, well, I'm going to give you life and I'm going to send you to hell. It's not like that at all. It's when Christ is expressed through us, that mercy seat is expressed, and that person can see Christ in us, and they have respect to that Christ, and they do something to support you. That can absolutely give them life when it comes down to the white throne judgment. The same way, if they treat you a certain way, that can also bring judgment to them because that's the way they're treating Christ. Look. It's not me going around and just being mean to people and say, well, he treated me mean, so he's going to hell. That ain't the way it works, friend. It's what they're doing to Christ, not my own nature. If I get mad at you and I say something to you and you sass back and I say, well, I know it's going to happen to you. Well, how do you treat me? That's not it at all. That's just my own nature. But when Christ can be on display, how that person reacts to that display of Christ can determine their eternal judgment, their eternal destination. In fact, Brother Branham said something that just blows my mind. He said, your attitude towards somebody can determine their eternal destination. The way you treat them determines their destination, because what they're going to see, they're either going to see Christ in you or not. And if that was their opportunity to see Christ and you treated them a bad way and they go and treat you a certain way and they go on because they didn't see Christ in you, then that was their opportunity to be saved. I'm not getting to my point. Let me get back to it. All right, I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. What ministry is it? It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's to reconcile people to God. It's to get people to a point where they want to accept Christ, where they can recognize who they are, where the word comes and manifests through them. This is the ministry we're supposed to have. He says, we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So what we see here is three ways. He said, we don't do this. That means Satan's ministers do it, because Satan uses the ministry. He always has used a ministry ever since the Garden of Eden. He always uses religion to get God's people to chase after him, to fall in love with him. Satan's means is to deceive through theology, through logic, through feelings, through emotions. This is how Satan gets people to through their lust for whatever they have a desire for. And that's how Satan does it, through dishonesty, craftiness, and deceitfulness. But Paul said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The manifestation is the word living. This is how God goes about drawing people to him, is by manifesting that the word is true. Satan goes about drawing people to him through dishonesty, craftiness, and handling the word of God deceitfully. Both of them are using the word of God. Satan uses it dishonestly, deceitfully. God uses it in manifestation and proving that it's true. The living word is interpreting God's mind. It's restoring us back to the very image of God, which is the way he wants to have our fellowship. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Some people are just lost, friends. They have chosen to be lost. They have chosen a life that has taken their name off the book of life because it's been hidden. It says, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He took the word and he twisted it and he preached it to them, and it blinded their minds so that the gospel is hid to them because they're walking in darkness. How has he blinded them? A ministry. He comes with dishonesty, with craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully, using knowledge of the mysteries, not the revelation himself. And that's how he's got so many people since Eve all the way down here. And he's always works through the framework of the true church all the way down through the church ages. He's always all through the Old Testament. It's always, he gets right in there next to as close as he can to be twins with the real thing, so that it's so hard to be able to tell the difference. And so there he's preaching the same thing but just twisting a little bit. And he always gets people to go after it. Look with Moses out there and all that God had done through Moses' ministry, and yet there come Dathan and Korah, and they got thousands of people to follow after them against the very manifestation of the word for their day, because through that deceitfulness, by offering them something they wanted, they didn't want to be under some kind of subjection to someone's office or something. They said, you can do what you want. You're holy. You can make your own gospel. And that's the way people live, and that's why they're still doing it today, and that's why they refuse to come under the headship of the word in this day. They will come under the headship of the written word because they can interpret it any way they want, but they will not come under the manifestation of the headship because that always comes in flesh, and people don't like coming under that kind of headship. He said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, the image of God should shine unto them. So what is the image? It's when that word becomes flesh, which becomes the light of the world. This is why Jesus, when he was here, he said, I am the light of the world. Don't walk in darkness. But then he turns to his disciples and said, and ye are the light of the world. When? When the word for your day lives through that, you become that mercy seat, and you become the image of God, and he can fellowship with that image in you, and you absolutely are the opportunity for people to see light and choose to walk in the light. We have a responsibility to be the light of the world. And when we get it wrong because of our emotions or because of whatever is going on in my life, and I want this and my addiction here, and it becomes something that is a stumbling block to other people because they look at you and say, you think you're a Christian and you go to some weird church and you believe some strange doctrine and you're just like everybody else. And we became a stumbling block, and we should put a shadow on our own light because of the way we handle ourselves. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Satan's ministers preach themselves. The true ministry of God, the true bride of Christ, does not preach themselves. They preach Christ. It's always Christ. It's not me. It's not Brother Jerry. It's not Brother Jim, Brother David, or Sister Jake. It's nothing about ourselves. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory and the ministry. What it says, Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And before that, it says, take heed of the ministry that their ministry is a expression of her. Hebrews 13:8. Follow them as they follow Christ. You need to make sure that our ministry is producing Christ and not me. Satan's ministers exalt themselves. Christ's ministers exalt Christ. And you can tell the difference the way people follow different ministers around and how the ministers put up with it. Friends, when you see a minister that got to be preaching all the time and doing this and has a following after him, and he doesn't do anything to bust that thing when he sees people following after him, he's a false minister. Brother Brown constantly bursts that bubble. He said, stop following me. And he said, well, we'll do this for you. We'll make a big deal out of you. We'll give you all this money. He said, don't even talk to me anymore. I can't believe you're even offering that to me because you call me a prophet of God and then you want me to compromise on what I believe. How many message preachers would be willing to do that? It's popularity. This is how Satan gets so many people, is because he gets them to want to exalt themselves. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful true witness, beginning of the creation of God. So here's a message to this church age. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He ain't talking about us. That's the false church. That's the ones who are sitting in message churches. They're the twin. They are the liars. They're the ones who are exalting themselves. That is not talking to the bride. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. That's the bride. Because she recognizes the age she's living in, and she recognizes what she has to overcome. She recognizes how Satan comes against her in this age, and she repents. And he loves her, he rebukes her and chastens her, and she has that. That is her characteristics. That's the difference. One is Satan's bride, one is God's bride, and they sit in message churches throughout this world. They take heed, the warning, they repent, they accept the rebuke. Every one of us is one of those two people. Every one of us falls into one of those two categories. What are you? Where are you sitting tonight? Are you one who is willing to repent and accept rebuke? Or are you sitting there thinking, I have need of nothing. I'm a message believer. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't even know why I'm sitting here. Everyone does. Everyone falls. I'm talking about message believers. People out there, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Brother Brown says, he is speaking to the church of this age. Wretched, blind, naked, don't know it. That last phrase, the last word is what makes it so striking. They think that they are well filled with the Spirit, that they are already. Why do they think that? What is causing, what is the evidence based on to be a lukewarm message believer and think that you're ready for the rapture? Because they have a scientific knowledge, because they've had an experience, they've had a sensation, they understand the mysteries, because some pastor told them they were, because they belong to a certain person's church, but and that doctrine, he preaches them to believe that, yes, you are. There are so many ways that Satan has it through deceit, through lying, and through all the ways that God, that Satan has of twisting people's minds so that they think they're okay, and they're walking in darkness because their eyes have been hit, their eyes have been blinded. They're walking through darkness by the false preachers who get in the message pulpit and tell them something that they want to hear. Brother Branham says, it may seem strange in this age of grace, when God has taken a people for his namesake, that is his bride, in this evil age that should be called the age of evil. The very age that God is calling a people for his namesake by grace is called an evil age. And so what he's saying is, here we come to the very final, the top of it, and it's the most evil age, and it's the age of the most grace, and it's coming out of there, right out of Satan's Eden. God's calling his bride by grace. He will prove by the Bible that this is the age he was speaking of. Very strange to think that in an evil age like that, God would be calling his bride. Why? It's his vengeance. Because as dark as it is, as gross darkness on the people, but the Bible says, but arise and shine, your light has come. And for you and I, we're walking in light. It's the age of lightness, but he does it in the most gross darkness place there is to prove to Satan that these people will love me more than they love you. And now it's coming to a climax. Strange now, after some 1900 years of gospel preaching, now she, that is the world system, is more evil than in the days when he was here. The world system is more evil. The world is heading to a great climax, and you know that. Both seeds, why? Because the both seeds have matured, as shown out as imminent. What are these trials accomplishing? Why this darkness? He has proven to you who you love. He has proven to you who you believe. Because if you love him, you believe him. It really, they go hand in hand. Love and faith go hand in hand. You can't separate one from the other. He said, look, anything you want to find in the Bible, pick it up here. Go back to Genesis and see where it hatched out of. See where it come from. All the spirits and moves today go back to Genesis. That's what we've done to prove to you these things that you're seeing, friends. Don't forget that. Don't let it go over the top of your head. Let it soak into you. That's the things of God. So everything we see today, nothing is new. When we see all the transgender, when we see all the perversion, we see all the destroying their bodies, everything, all the spirits, it all hatched out in Genesis. It's just now come to a fullness, to the maturity. He said it comes to a head. Jesus predicted it would come to a head again in the last days. It would be by this. How does it come to a head? The seal of God and the mark of the beast, two spiritual powers working together. That's
That's what we are. You are either have taken the seal of God or you're taking the mark of the beast. If you haven't yet, you're going to. Everyone's going to do it, friends. You got to take one or the other. And I pray everyone here taking the seal of God. And that's what's bringing us to this maturity. That seal of God, which is the Holy Spirit, has come to maturity and is producing Christ and his bride in the midst of the darkness. And then the mark of the beast has come to maturity and is producing that false church. That false Satan's bride within the framework of the true message churches. It's the manifestation of twins, the two kingdoms reaching a climax. Why? Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so as each come to maturity, the sun shines on them, the weeds come up to maturity, the wheat comes up to maturity, and that's where we are. That's where we're at. And the twins are so alike, only the elect can tell the difference. Well, what is the difference? The difference is, what is the seed in there producing? Is the seed in there producing Christ, or is it producing a religious person? There's a huge difference. And yet it can be so close that religious person can't tell the difference. You can't tell it by knowledge. You can't tell it by intellect, by what the Holy Spirit reveals in us, through us. Both brides are uniting with their God. Both of them, they are serving their God, and they're both calling him Jesus. And they sit in church, and they raise their hands, and they praise God, and they sing the same songs, and they preach from the same doctrines, the same quotes, the same scriptures, and they stand in the same pulpit, and one's absolutely preaching to Satan, one's preaching to Jesus Christ. One's worshiping Satan, one's worshiping Jesus Christ, and here we are at the very end. We're going to watch these things happen. And if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry, friends, you will. It's coming to pass. It's happening all around us more and more. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. He is doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age, showing that it is Christ. What's he doing? How is he calling a bride? By vindicating the word of promise to her. Not the word that Brother Branham fulfilled, what Brother Branham preached. And if Brother Branham preached it, it's time for that to come to pass. Then we are vindicating that word that he preached to be true. And how are you knowing it? Because it's producing Christ in you. Well, what about the church? It had nothing to do with the church. Well, what about this group over here? It has nothing to do with that group. It don't have anything to do with anyone but you, the individual. Christ in you is proving whether it's true or not. And that's how he's calling you. And that's how he's drawing you, because you see Christ in you. It's having the effect it's supposed to have. What about my kids? What about my family? What about my husband or my mom or whatever? Has nothing to do with it. You have to know this for yourself. This is why Jesus said, except you hate everybody and love me, you're not worthy of it. That doesn't mean you go around and say, well, I hate you. You're my wife, but I hate you because I love Jesus Christ. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying you will sell out everybody else to hold on to Christ, because they're so much more important than everything else in the world. And no one in your family is worth going to hell for. No one in your family is worth loving more than God. Nobody. That's where Satan gets so many people, because their human love for a person or for a thing or for whatever it is, they love more than they love God. He said the woman is a part of the man's body. They're not two, they're one. And the bride, the church, the word, a people called out from here and there for his name's sake, will unite in the body of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's not, well, when we get to heaven, we get meet him in the air. That has to be right now. You are united in the body of Christ. We are a many-membered body, so we are an individual within the body of Christ. But you don't get in there just because you belong to a church or believe a doctrine or have a sensation. You get in there because you're birthed into it by the word for the age. It comes and it reveals Christ to you, and you see this. Who is this Christ? It's me. It's you. So many people, they see Christ as someone who died on the cross and resurrected, and that's when they see that's Christ. It is Christ, but if you only see that, you have a historical God of the past. You have to see Christ right now today, what he is doing today, because otherwise that won't do you much good. But when you see the effect that had, and he's come now, he's living in you, and you are that manifestation of that body of Christ right here on earth. He lives in you. That's how Brother Branham could say, he could say, if one person goes out of your city, you need to know it's you. How do you know that? Because you see something inside you that is not old person. I see something inside of me that's not Phil Bontrager. I see something inside of you that's not David Horner. It's so much greater than any of that. And there's no way, there's no way God can take the body of Christ and leave part of it behind. So if Christ is in you, you're part of the body. He takes the whole body in the rapture. You can't miss it. My. What's there to be afraid of? What's there to be afraid of? Who cares who won the election? Who cares what's going to happen tomorrow? Who cares all that? Because it's all going to hell anyways. But that body of Christ is going to be raptured out of this mess. I'm glad he won the election. Don't get me wrong. But if he wouldn't have, who cares? I promise you I have not been on TikTok whining and crying and cussing and screaming. So sad. I feel so bad for those people that their life is so destroyed over something like that. Come on. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by the error, as usual, by the perversion of the word of God like he did at the beginning. So his unholy spirit, listen to what he's saying. He's calling by the error, the perversion of the word of God. So the perversion, he's taking the word of God. He's calling his unholy bride to himself. Remember, she calls herself a message believer. That just gets me, friends. Wonderful people. I got family who could fit into this. God have mercy. It's the same error he used at the beginning to twist the word just a little bit. Just twist it just a little bit, and that's all it takes because it appeals to what we want, our desire, our fleshly desire. See it coming right back to that seed time again from Eden? Here it is again. Satan will soon take his intellectual bride and exalt this great one, which is the Antichrist, the hierarchy, and set him upon a throne, and the whole world will wonder after him. And then Christ will come, and the two cannot exist in the same time. His kingdom will be taken. He'll be destroyed. Friends, you get to choose this. You get to decide what it is that you want to do. What kind of life do you want to live? What kingdom do you want to be part of? And you'll choose by your nature what it is you want. What is inside? What is the controlling spirit, the controlling desire in your heart? Brother Branham said, I'm getting way off my subject. He said, we have that soul. He said, the only way to the soul is free moral agency to believe or disbelieve. Well, that comes from the heart. That's not a decision you're making up in your mind, friends. That's a decision in your heart. It either believes or doesn't. And if there's a seed in there, it will believe. And if there's seed not in there, it can't. That's what the prophet said. Get mad at him. When you recognize there's something inside of you that believes, in spite of all the junk that's going on in my head, there's something inside. Brother Jerry preached on this a while back, to discern between the thoughts of the mind and the thoughts of the heart. Your mind is a battlefield. Your heart isn't. The battle rages up here, not in your heart. Your heart believes. Why? It's been sealed away to believe. You cannot accept any. No unbelief can get into your heart once it's been sealed out. You're from your heart. You cannot disbelieve. And you might act like Abraham, and he believed God from his heart, but he went and ran and did all kinds of crazy stuff. You and I do that same thing sometimes, and we go do stuff that in our mind we know it's not true. We shouldn't be doing that. But something always holds us. It brings us back, and it brings us to repentance. Why? Because something inside down in here says, yeah, I know you did that, but from your heart, from the image of God, you never did it in the first place. That has got to make the devil mad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're trying to get your enemy to do something. You finally trick him into doing something, and then the person who's come and put him in jail says, I don't even see that. Go ahead. You're free to go. He just robbed a bank. I don't care. He never really did it. That's why. Because who your daddy is. Your daddy says, I'm in charge around here. I run this county. I'm not going to put anyone in jail. I'm getting so far off my thought. But he's in control. He says, I know he did that, but I've washed it away. It's gone. I'm talking about belief and unbelief. It happens in your heart, not in your mind. That's why people get so tore up, because they make mistakes. Say, see, if you were born again, you wouldn't do that.
Okay, well, you're not born again, Satan, so how would you know? Just who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? The two spirits, one of them, God's Holy Spirit, the other one, the devil's spirit, working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. I'm going to say one statement here. This is kind of sums up everything I want to say tonight. You get to choose who you love. You get to choose who you worship. It's your choice by the nature that's in you, because your nature is going to love one or the other. If you take a pig and you say, pig, you can either go over to the mud or you can go to the alfalfa field. That pig by nature is going to say, I like the mud. You say the same thing to the sheep. The sheep say, I like the alfalfa. It's because it's what they are by their nature. This is the choice we make. Who do you love? It depends on the nature in your soul. It just comes down to it. It's your nature. The seed inside of you will produce what is inside of it. Now, Satan, this deceiver, as spoken in Matthew 24, with so much deceit, we find that by his gospel programs, now this is the way Satan deceives, knowledge, better education, higher ethics, civilization, and so forth, has bewitched a people that wants to serve God into believing his lie. That has got to be one of the saddest things Brother Branham ever said. He has bewitched the people that want to serve God into believing his lie. These people sitting in these message churches who are absolutely married to Satan, they want to serve God. Eve did not want to do that. She wanted to be a believer. She did not want to be deceived. She did not want to do that. But he showed her how it was more wisdom in it. He appealed. There you go. He appealed to her desire for something that God told her not to do. He appealed to her lust for knowledge. And that's when it comes. He looks at you. He sees how you're raised. He sees your personality. He sees the experiences you've gone through. And then he says, there's her weakness. There's his weakness. That's where I can get him. I can appeal to this. And he goes there. And how many times have we stumbled and fell because Satan has that shot coming at you? He has a right to it. And he can appeal to that. And if you don't have seed inside of you to hold you, you will go after it, because it's your own nature is to like that thing, to want that thing he's offering to us. He showed her more wisdom. She didn't know. She wanted to know. She didn't understand, but she wanted to understand, and God told her not to try to understand. I can tell you what has worked. Satan has got me for years is my desire to live a very holy life and try to earn my way into heaven by legalism. And I didn't even realize what I was doing for years. I kept chasing that legalistic approach, that legalistic standard. And after a while, I finally got to the point I realized I couldn't do it. God comes and shows you, you're wasting your time. But that's how he got me, because he knew I was raised under that. I was influenced by that spirit, and I kept chasing after that legalism, influenced by that legalistic devil. But because there is something inside that had to come to life, it finally brought me to and showed me, said, stop doing that and believe what I've told you and let grace have its perfect work in your life. That changed me. What's your place? How has Satan come to you? Where has he attacked you? Where is your weakness where he gets you to stumble and fall? Where is the point where he gets you to chase after something that you want? God told her not to try to understand. He said, don't try to live this life. He said, don't try to live that way. And he told me that for year after year, and my eyes were blinded because I kept thinking that this was the way you serve God. I've been lied to. I've been deceived by the very word since I was a little boy, and I was an old man almost before those eyes finally came open. And if the seed wouldn't have been in there, I still wouldn't see it. Don't try, friends. Just believe what God's doing. People are not deceived because they want to be. People are not serving Satan because they want to serve Satan. I'm not talking about satanic worship. That's just a fallacy anyways. Who cares? I mean, that's just stupid. It's the people who will want to be Christian. Satan's deceived them. He says, not by setting up a bunch of communists. Communists has nothing to do with this. It's the church. That's where you have to watch. See, it's not the communists that would deceive the very elect. It's the church that will deceive the very elect. The Antichrist is religious, very religious, and can quote the scripture and make it look so plain. Make it look so plain. Do you see the twins? That's where the problem is, friends, is because it looks so plain. They can explain it so well. I sat there in a pew and listened to preachers preach this message. It blew my mind. Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. Find out they're not even born again. How many people can you point out like that? It was just a knowledge of the revelation. It was not the revelation itself. And friends, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have that seed living in you, you can't lead someone to Christ. That's what the prophet said. Absolutely not. The seed must come through the body, and that person must be born again. Brother Branham said so. Now, by unbelief in all God's word has brought the seed of unholiness. This is my last quote. Unbelief in all God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. That's where we're at, friends. We are living and we are thriving in Satan's Eden, and Satan just can't stand it. That's one reason he's mad, because he has given you such an opportunity. Look at all the sin you could enjoy. Look at all the religion you could enjoy. Look at all that I have provided for you. You could be the best message believer, but you got to go get born again. What's wrong with you? Even now, you can still chase after this and chase after that. You can have anything you want. Just chase after it. What do you really want? Satan will offer it to you. We are in Satan's Eden. We are now entering to where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in an Eden of this earth, an Eden of sin, perverted religion. Remember, it just keeps coming back. It's not about the sin of the world. It's not about the drinking and the adultery and all that. That's not the deception. That's not where he's going to get you and I. It's the religious sin. It's the perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, I'm the great angel. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. He brought his kingdom in every age, now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people. Here's the thing about it. A king has to be throned by his people. Why did Trump get elected? Because the people elected him. How does Christ sit on his throne? Because we put him on his throne. He doesn't come and just snatch and say, I'm the king. Let me sit on his throne. No, we have to enthrone him on our heart. It's what your choice is. You let him be the king of your heart. You don't have to, but if you want to be a Christian, you do. And that's how it is. Hey, brother and sister, when Christ becomes king is when we enthrone him in our heart. We give him that place. It's the same with Satan. He becomes the god of this age when people put him on the throne of their heart and they worship him, thinking they're worshiping Christ, but it's by the people putting him there. Oh, can you imagine what judgment day is going to be like when people have served God their whole life and they wonder, why did I make the rapture? And they're standing there and they're realizing that they were serving Satan the entire time. What a horrible time that's going to be. And what's the excuse going to be? I went to a message church. I wore long hair. I believe the message. What a horrible time. There's going to be some point in their life where it's going to be pointed out, this is where you chose to be Eve, the wrong Eve. This is where you chose to believe Satan's lie, right there. Satan has built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden, scientific preachers. Well, we see those around the message. Well, I don't know about, that cloud, he wasn't there with those dates. He couldn't have been there at those dates. He was in Houston when that cloud was there. What is it? Using science to try and prove if the message is right or not. Anytime they're using the science to prove the message is right, you got a problem. You got a scientific preacher. It's proved by faith. A scientific church, scientific theology, everything is scientific based on knowledge. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It ain't built upon faith. So then the question I have is, what is your religion built on? Is it built on knowledge, or is it built on faith? Is it built because it's been proved to you? Well, I can see it in the Bible. I see in the Bible this person preached. Well, I believe this preacher. I believe that preacher. That's just knowledge. Or is it built on faith? I believe it. That's not what he's talking about. Satan believes it. He knows it's true. How many people right now, so many people on the tapes, I've talked to them, I know what I'm talking about. People who do the tapes only, they believe that it's true. I believe the message. I had this one sister, she said, I know I do this, I shouldn't do that, but I believe the message is true. That ain't it. That ain't faith. That is not faith. Faith is when the word has been revealed to you and it lives itself out through you. It's a manifestation. It's the revelation of the word to you, and that produces faith, and you walk in that faith. It's something that has been revealed and it changes your life. That's revelation. That's what it means to walk in faith, not just because you believe something is true. Go ahead and stand tonight. Let's go ahead. Brother and sister, this is what it means to be a Christian. You see God working in your life daily. And he, you know, we get stray over here. He brings us back. We might stray over here. He brings us back. But after a while, we're walking more and more just the way you're supposed to walk, right down the middle. And you see that maturity coming. And when something goes wrong, you just notice, you know what? That used to make me so upset. And now it just like, I just let it go. I just get so frustrated about that. Now I just let it go. That person used to hurt my feelings, and I didn't want nothing to do with them. Now they're one of my best friends. Brother, it's that simple stuff like that. That's what we're looking at. Well, I want to perform miracles. I want to do wonders. I want people to see how spiritual I am. Handle that part. Do you have the right attitude towards people who hate you? Do you have the right attitude towards people who frustrate you and you make you mad? That's how you know you're getting somewhere, not because you can perform miracles, because those miracles are the way Satan deceives people through those false anointed ones. They can produce all the miracles and signs and wonders that anyone else can produce, that the true believer can produce, but they cannot live the nature of Jesus Christ. There's the difference, friend. They cannot produce they might have this Amish kind of humility, and they might have some kind of a Catholic sort of, well, we give to the poor, and they have all these things they're putting on themselves, but their nature, get to know them a little bit, and you say there's something wrong with the nature. It's just a religion. It's not the life actually living through them. If you don't have that life, you can't tell the difference, because only the elect. Brother Branham said this. I'm not making it up. Brother Branham said only the elect can tell the difference in the spirits. It's so close. That's just the truth, friends. And it's not, let's go around and figure out who is and who isn't. That's not what I'm talking about at all. God will show you what you need to know, and you just know that your spirit is right. You know that it's right in you. That's all you're responsible. You make sure that you know Jesus Christ personally. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would be with us again tonight and just give us an encouraging word, Lord, and to help us keep our eyes open so we can see the tactics of the enemy around us and see how he uses the word to try to come against us. He uses the word as his main weapon against us. It's